Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Pay the People. Why Fair Pay is Good for Business and Great for America is a 2024 nonfiction book by John Driscoll, Morris Pearl, and The Patriotic Millionaires that argues for a major reassessment of how American workers are compensated. Written from the unusual perspective of two leaders who have operated at the top of corporate and financial America, the book links wage policy to business performance, consumer demand, and the health of democratic capitalism. Its central purpose is not simply to criticize low pay, but to show that paying workers fairly is a practical strategy for stronger companies and a more stable economy. The authors combine executive experience, policy argument, and data-oriented analysis to challenge the familiar claim that higher wages inevitably hurt business. Instead, they present fair pay as an investment in workers, customers, communities, and long-term growth. The book is aimed at business leaders, policymakers, and readers interested in inequality and labor economics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book reframes wages as a business investment rather than a controllable cost. A major argument in the book is that payroll should not be treated only as a short-term expense to be minimized. Drawing on John Driscoll's executive background, the authors present fair compensation as an investment that can improve retention, morale, and organizational stability. This matters because businesses often make wage decisions using a narrow quarterly lens, even though labor costs affect performance over a much longer horizon. The book challenges the assumption that low wages are a sign of efficiency. Instead, it suggests that underpaying workers can create hidden costs through turnover, weak commitment, poor service, and lower productivity. By contrasting cost-cutting with strategic investment, the authors push readers to see wages as part of a company's operating model, not merely an overhead line. That shift in framing is central to the book's practical message: firms that pay workers decently may build stronger internal systems and more resilient customer relationships. Secondly, low wages are presented as an economic drag on consumer demand and business growth. The book ties wage policy to the larger structure of the American economy by emphasizing that consumer spending drives most economic activity. If a large share of workers earn less than what is needed to live, they have less purchasing power, which weakens demand across many sectors. The authors use this logic to rebut the idea that wage increases only redistribute money from employers to employees. Their point is that better wages can circulate back through the economy as household spending, supporting the very businesses that pay them. This argument gives the book its broader macroeconomic edge. Labor policy is not treated as a narrow workplace issue, but as a foundation for market health. The book also suggests that persistently low pay limits the growth potential of local communities, because workers with inadequate income cannot fully participate in the consumer economy. In this view, fair pay supports both business revenue and national economic stability. Thirdly, the authors connect corporate wage practices to policy failure and congressional inaction. Another important dimension of the book is its critique of public policy, especially the long failure to raise the federal minimum wage. The authors do not treat low pay as the result of isolated bad actors alone. They argue that corporate behavior and legislative paralysis reinforce one another, leaving millions of workers stuck in poverty-level compensation. This makes the book both a business argument and a policy intervention. It calls out a system in which employers can rely on outdated wage floors while Congress avoids responsibility for modern living standards. By placing blame on both business and government, the book argues that the problem is structural rather than accidental. That matters because structural problems require structural solutions, such as wage floors that reflect current costs of living and labor market conditions. The author's policy message is therefore not abstract reformism. It is a direct appeal to update rules that have failed to keep pace with the economy. Fourthly, case study logic shows how executive decisions can reshape pay practices. The book gains credibility by using John Driscoll's own experience as a senior executive, including the example of raising minimum salaries at CareCentrix. This is important because it moves the book beyond theory and into managerial practice, rather than relying only on policy language. The authors show how a company can choose to pay workers more and still treat that decision as compatible with sound business management. The case study approach helps answer a common objection that higher wages are unrealistic or automatically harmful to margins. By presenting a real corporate setting where pay was adjusted upward, the book demonstrates that leadership choices matter and that executive priorities can reshape the internal economy of a firm. The lesson is not that every company will face identical conditions, but that leadership can evaluate compensation more strategically. This makes the book especially relevant for managers who want evidence that fair pay can be implemented inside an ordinary business setting, not only advocated in principle. Lastly, the book argues that fair pay supports democratic capitalism and social stability beyond economics. The book makes a civic argument about the kind of society the United States should sustain. The authors warn that widespread underpayment weakens trust in the economic system and threatens the legitimacy of democratic capitalism. In their framing, a society where many working people cannot cover basic living costs is not simply unequal, it is unstable. This is why the book treats wage reform as both a moral and institutional issue. Fair pay is presented as a way to reduce insecurity, strengthen communities, and lower the social strain created by chronic financial stress. The authors also position their argument against a zero-sum mindset, insisting that better compensation does not have to mean weaker business performance. That broader framing makes the book stand out from narrower management titles. It is not only about how companies can operate better, but also about how compensation practices affect national cohesion, economic legitimacy, and the long-term durability of a market democracy. In conclusion, Pay the People will be most useful for business leaders, executives, policymakers, labor economists, and readers who want a serious argument about wages that goes beyond slogans. It offers practical value for managers by showing how pay decisions affect retention, performance, and consumer demand. It also offers intellectual value for readers interested in inequality because it connects compensation policy to the larger health of the U.S. economy and democratic institutions. What makes the book stand out in its category is the authorship. It comes from high-level insiders who are not arguing from the outside against business, but from within business in favor of a different model. That perspective gives the book a distinctive tone and makes its case harder to dismiss as purely ideological. Compared with many books on inequality, it is more explicitly managerial and policy-oriented at the same time. Compared with conventional business books, it is more socially ambitious. The result is a concise but forceful argument that fair pay is not charity, but a strategy for stronger firms and a more durable America. If you would like to support John Driscoll, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.